Blog Talk Radio.
All of you to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we're having an open blog day this fantastic afternoon on Friday, July the 5th, 2013, stepping outside of the normal shows that I've been doing, at least. As you know, many of you who have been listening on a regular basis know that typically on Sundays at about 8 p.m. Eastern, we've been going through the Billy Meyer contact notes rather religiously, step by step. And today we're just having a kind of a spontaneous show for call-ins, and I'm going to be practicing a little bit of my ESP abilities, and I'm going to start concentrating here and see if I get any visions or any kind of clairvoyant. Oh, wait a minute. I'm seeing Colorado. I'm seeing the landscape of Colorado. Now I'm seeing a bird. I'm seeing a bird flying. It looks like a raven. It's kind of blue-colored. Oh, I have a caller. Let me see who this caller is. 559, state your name and where you're calling from.
Well, it's Miss Solaris Blue Raven.
Well, you know, I had this vision of this bird flying in Colorado. Isn't that something?
I'm telling you, small world, the illusion. How are you doing, Mark?
Just drinking water and coffee, no wine, so I have no excuse.
Oh, okay.
My strangeness. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good. I'm doing well.
Do you have any chemtrails there in Colorado today?
Just overcast today. Looks like we might get a thunderstorm, which is good. But yeah,
you've had
so
a
far
lot of
so good.
Fire.
But
you've had some fires there in Colorado.
Yeah. All that's under control right now. But you know, you have to knock wood and just hope that nobody gets negligent with fire. So
they've had fires in
cigarettes.
Arizona too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard about that.
There was a whole bunch of firefighters that were killed, I think, in fire.
Yeah, that's really sad. Mm-hmm.
That's not fun at all. You know, I always talk about the Billy Meyer case, but the Henoch prophecies talk about these fires raging across the West. And we may be seeing the fulfillment of some of these prophecies. Who knows? We'll just have to wait and see. I often wonder, too, if we're kind of heading towards a civil war in this nation. And I, It's probably not going to happen next year or the year after that, but I think that this government that we have is intentionally taking away our freedoms, and it just really comes down to how much the people are going to be willing to put up with. And the second question involved in all that is, if and when will there be an economic collapse because our cash is not backed by gold or anything else anymore. So they're just printing money indefinitely, and many of the jobs that still exist in the United States, I mean, there are some that still exist in the United States, but a lot of this stuff has gone overseas, and that's been by intention. So it almost seems like the country is under a bit of an attack right now at different levels. But, you know, much of the public is, how can I say, they're on automatic pilot, so to speak, and they're kind of numb. Would you agree with that, Solaris?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I'd say the majority are completely slept and in living in a false reality. They're in their comfort zones, but they're not really paying attention. But as we have talked before, it's about input and output, and what are they receiving as input, but a bad database of information from, you know, corrupt governments, which I call cabals, forced religions, which are based on control and manipulation, and corporations as well. And it's just a linear illusion, a false reality. So basically, they are a byproduct of what they've experienced on this timeline, which is really unfortunate, because if you look at it, it's why they're at where they're at. And so far as having them paying attention, I mean, you know, they really need to be more aware insofar as what's happening on a bigger scale. However, I think that if they were going to awaken, I think they would have done so by now. I think the people that are awake are the ones that are really going to be coming forward on a higher consciousness level. And everybody else, it's sad to say, but I think they're along for the ride in whatever direction that goes.
You know, a lot of the, let's call it the New Age community, for lack of a better word, thinks we're on the verge of this tremendous shift of this great golden age coming in. And I do think they're... is a golden age coming in, but I think it's not going to be next year or 5 years from now or 10 years from now. But unfortunately, it's just my opinion. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong about a lot of these things. I hope it comes in the next 6 months, but I think we have some real difficult times to get through. What are your thoughts, Solaris?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that due to the what's been manifesting on this timeline, due to the collective and what they're harboring energetically, I think that's pretty much the outcome. Insofar as ascension goes and planetary shift, yeah, if everybody was simultaneously linked up onto a higher octave of higher consciousness, then this world would change overnight. However, that's not happening because people are on different levels of evolution, whether it's spiritual, mental. So you're dealing with a lot of different, it's like oil and water, they're not mixing. And eventually, I think what I see is a spinoff of evolution. I see a spinoff between those which are not complete in consciousness and those who are. And insofar as ascension goes, I mean, it's here now. It's just a matter of consciousness and shifting the energy. I mean, it's just a personal journey through higher octaves and overtones of self-awareness.
You know, I'm a real optimistic about Revolution Radio. I think that there's... at least in Revolution Radio, there's a whole bunch of different hosts, and they're reaching a bigger audience, and you know, those roundtable discussions are real encouraging to me. I hope that that's enough. I'm hoping that's enough. But you know, it's like we were talking about, I think there is a potential for a civil war in this country. I think we may see some more things like these tremendous fires. You know, it'd be interesting to figure out what the cause of these fires are. Do you think it's just the lack of moisture out there in the west?
Well, I think a lot of it's drought caused, and some of it can be caused by chemtrails, believe it or not. You know, weather manipulation has a lot to do with the way our planet's looking these days. Some of it's just negligent people that are, you know, just being irresponsible, dropping cigarette butts, you know, discharging firearms without picking up their shells. I mean, stupid things that can be taken care of if they just care, if they just think for like 2 seconds about what they're doing.
Yeah, I think that's very, very true. You know, I had a kind of an off-the-wall thought just before the show. I wonder, you know, when we come into this life, if it's hard to know what level of knowledge that we have when we come into this life. But I've always kind of had this feeling like I never wanted to have children. And I wonder if I brought that knowledge into this lifetime, because I kind of somehow subconsciously knew what I was incarnating into. Have you ever thought about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's overrated insofar as people breeding is what I call it. I think a lot of it's done by, and I don't want to sound, you know, you take it for what it is, but honestly, some people do it for ego purposes, you know, for their own personal gratification and lineage. In times like these, I think it's foolish, quite honestly. I think that they need to be more responsible and take a good look at what's happening on a global scale. The children are not the solution to the equation, as most people think. And what they're going to become is a byproduct of a dysfunctional government globally, and also forced religions and whatever else they've been subjected to, which deal with false realities and linear programming. So people need to do a check with the universe on a higher level of higher consciousness to really understand what they're doing on this world and what we're actually here for. And it's really not to procreate. So, you know, some people have maybe a mission to experience childhood or interact with children. I have no idea. I'm definitely more connected to universal energies myself, and I love animals.
Yeah. I do too, very much so.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's a world government now?
Oh, of course, yeah. There's a small cabal of people that I feel are calling the shots to some extent and blackmailing and misusing covert technology to get what they want. But that eventually will collapse. It's like ebb and flow. It rises and then it falls, and then it will flatline, and then they'll have to restructure. So everything, you know, it all comes to an end at some point in the continuum. And what I'm seeing here is basically these cabals are, they're working with linear time. They're working with the illusion of time, which is linear. They're not working on a multidimensional hyperspace consciousness objective at all. So you're dealing with people who are very primordial, trying to run the show on an earth that's in sync with the universe. So basically it's a defective program, and it will be disengaged at some point. But a lot of the problem is the people responding and interacting with this false reality, which is literally creating their stasis. I mean, they complain about their evolution, they complain about where they're at on this planet, but they're not taking a good look at what is happening and what's causing it. It's cause and effect, as you well know.
Do you think the society that we have right now is potentially going to collapse? It seems to me like things are kind of coming to a head. I think you may have mentioned that at one point, that you thought it was kind of an inevitable kind of collapse.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's imploding onto itself. It's just a matter of, well, it's teetering right now in between the linear world that it's on and it's been developed on, but it's not going to be able to sustain itself much longer. I mean, it's already been collapsing, and I think that's why you're seeing this push for control and manipulation to such an extent on this timeline. But I do see it falling apart. And the only thing that's going to keep people going in evolution is consciousness and higher consciousness. And I'm not talking religion. I'm talking spiritual evolution, keeping yourself analytical and intelligent, in sync with the universal energies of higher consciousness. That's what's going to keep us going if we go as a civilization. It's a choice, basically. They can choose to go extinct, or they can choose to keep ascending in higher consciousness. And I've said this before, if you have everybody synced up, they could easily change it overnight. It's just a matter of people in resonance with higher consciousness versus the illusion of the false reality that they're subjected to from day to day, which is based on a lie. It's a false matrix.
That's interesting. People synced up. You know, that's where I go back to the whole revolution radio thing and all these like-minded people kind of, because it's certainly not going to come through the mainstream media. And it's not going to.
Oh, no, not at all.
And it's not going to come through the government. Let me ask you, do you think the people that are in charge right now, do you think Do you think that they're just being controlled? Is there some kind of technology that the elites are using to control the people in our government?
Well, I think that the majority of the people in the illusion of power, which is an illusion, by the way, they think they're in power, but they're really not. They're being handled. Usually there's a covert programming involved with some kind of a manipulation of the mind to some extent. I'm sure of it. Also, though, even with psychotronic programming, there is free will. And these people that are in these illusions of power have a choice. They can choose to do the right thing or they can choose to do the wrong thing. And they're choosing to do the wrong thing purposely. And whether they cannot see the future, I doubt they can see the future, which is probably why they're stepping into the, you know, this black hole that they're walking into. They don't see what's going to be the outcome. And honestly, what they're doing to try to create havoc on this world is really going to backfire onto them. They're not immune to it by any means, and they think they are, but they're not. It will hit them less, but it will definitely hit them, and I think that's something that they need to pay attention to. But for those of us who can see into the future, those of us who know timelines, we understand the outcomes. And I can certainly tell that these guys basically are off the chessboard before they make a move on the chessboard. I mean, literally, even though they think they're in power. And right now, I'm sure a lot of people think that they're in control and they're running the show. They're creating an illusion of that, but they're really frantic and they're desperate to hold on to what little power they have in their illusion.
Larith, I'm going to take a very, very short musical break, and we'll pick back up with this interesting conversation with Solaris Blue Raven, kind of a spontaneous thing for a Friday. It's kind of nice to just kind of sit back and compare notes a little bit. Folks, we'll be back in about a minute and a half. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We're fortunate enough to have Solaris Blue Raven on the line this afternoon, and we're kind of just having a little bit of an open chat, a kind of an open forum discussion about the state of the world that we're in. And what's beautiful and cool about Blog Talk Radio is that you can just schedule a show for any time and just kind of wing it. I've got a day off here. I can step out of the corporate world for just a little while and indulge myself a little bit, which I kind of lead a kind of a crazy, very structured life, and it's kind of nice to step out of that structure a little bit and compare notes. And I know Solaris has a lot of interesting insights into what's going on in the world today, and one of the things we talk about a lot is transhumanism. And fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, I guess, a lot of folks, people that are very intelligent and very aware on many levels, are not aware of the transhumanism movement. And the whole idea of transhumanism is the merging of man with machine. And they're starting to sell the public on this whole iPod thing and the cell phone thing. And pretty soon they will start to implant technologies into the human body. And it's not that the technologies themselves are bad, But I think we're being manipulated. I think we're being controlled, and the goal is control. They're selling it as, you know, all these great new things. And I know that, Solaris, I know we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but I do think that the end game of the elite is transhumanism. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's an objective. I think that's their only way to be immortalized, to be honest, is through the what I call the misuse of technology on their end, because basically they're taking databases and templates of brainwave activity and trying to interface it onto their covert communication system so they can have it immortalized and then rebooted back into their psyches through synthetic telepathy and other forms of interface with communication system. And this is a technology that's been around for a while, by the way. And as you know, I've been a test pilot for the covert technology with synthetic telepathy, which happened to me in 2004. So I'm well aware of how the technology works and how it interfaces with the mind. So I would tell you, yeah, I'm sure that's their objective. But at the same time, when I look at the mass collective, I don't think people need to be worried, because considering, and I say this with no disrespect, considering the IQ of the majority of people right now, I would say that they're really not worth implanting, and they're really not worth interfacing with machines, to be honest. I don't think that they have anything to offer. And I'm not saying this in a bad way. I'm just saying that there are certain people who have done their spiritual work that are very intelligent, that are very analytical, that are very high consciousness oriented. And then there are a lot of people who have just chosen not to evolve, who have chosen not to ascend, who like to be vegetables and wander around like zombies and not get any type of education in any form or design. So these are the people that I'm thinking to myself, yes, there's an agenda going, and yes, there's a transhumanism agenda going, but I think they're very selective insofar as who they're choosing for this. And also, like I said before, technology has to be used with wisdom and enlightenment. They are not doing that, and I don't see them doing that. But the end game is, yeah, probably less people on the world and more interface with machines and what you would call a human, which isn't really a human. It's an embodiment with energy. I mean, at this point in the continuum, I mean, I think people do a disservice to call themselves humans at this point on the timeline.
Do you think they're just going to try to kill certain people off, or what are they going to do then?
Well, I think it's been in motion for centuries. I mean, we all know, and maybe we all don't, but I know you do, that vibration cures everything. So basically, there's no such thing as disease or illness in any form or design. Cancer, there's no such thing as this stuff. This stuff is created through the misuse of technology and through the misuse of vibrational codes and frequencies. It can be cured the same way. And that's why there are patents that have been archived and stolen. I'm sorry?
Do you think that some of our disease is caused by our own thinking then?
Well, absolutely. It's a brain virus, but at the same time, it's also environmental. There are conditions based on programming of the mind. Okay, so say they're been taught since they were born onto this earth false reality, false programming based on dysfunctional brain patterning based on lies and deception, not based on higher consciousness, then that's already going to be encoded into their DNA, into their cells of being ill. Disease-causing factors, what they call miasins. But you can literally change that through a vibrational harmonic, and everybody knows that. Anybody who knows technology knows that everything is vibration cued so that we can heal through vibration.
So what you're saying is that negative wrong thinking, those invalid, illogical brain patterns manifest themselves as disease or sickness in the body sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And and that's not the only thing. Like I said, it's environmental. There are environmental conditions. You're programmed at birth, or people are programmed at birth to believe a certain thing, which basically allows them to have dysfunctional programming, which will make them sick down the road. I mean, literally, if they realize how powerful their minds are and that they can heal anything from within through consciousness, and we're not talking just executing your intent. I'm talking about merging with full light, high consciousness, and they would see things very clearly at that point in the continuum. But right now, I mean, everything is driven by false realities and the misuse of technology. Flip the switch in the other direction, and you'll see it opposite. You'll see everything. It would be like heaven on earth and the illusion of heaven.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your guest tonight on Revolution Radio?
Actually,
because
that's Saturday.
Or is that Saturday?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I got my day screwed up. But she's
a little
healer, isn't she? I mean, she's a...
Well, she's a... Yeah, her name is Cassandra Gardner. She lives on Maui, and she's been doing healing work and facilitating healing on people for, I don't know, at least over 35 years. But anyway, she will be my guest on my show on Ravenstar's Witching Hour, which is 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time on Saturday. And she should have some informative information for people who are looking for answers, especially in so far as healing goes, higher consciousness goes. And also, she talks about the family of light. Now, how you digest that is where you're at on your spiritual path. But at the same time, she's she has beautiful energy, and I would strongly suggest that if you're in tune to those type of modality, that she would be a benefit to listen to.
See, I want her to do a reading on me. I want to find out about my quote-unquote past life. I'd like to hear what she has to say.
Right.
You know,
sure,
I don't
you can.
Know.
I mean, just contact her.
Can she do that? Like, it's probably not safe to do that over Skype or anything like that or over radio.
No. Oh, she can do it on Skype. I mean, she won't do it live on the air, but certainly she can read into your own, you know, Akashic records and see what's...
No, so she won't do that. She won't do that on the air. She'd only do that like
I doubt it. I mean, I seriously doubt it. She'd probably do it in person or on the phone, like I said, but not live over the air. I seriously doubt it.
That's interesting.
No, you might. You should talk to her and see.
You know, it's interesting. for some reason, me, I don't mind opening that sort of thing up. You never know what you're going to find, though. You could open up a can of worms and maybe something that you wouldn't want to be on the air, right?
Well, you know, there's a lot in your cells and your atoms, and I tell this all the time to people because I've done a lot of readings on people, and I've done a lot of healing work and DNA activation in my past on others, and I can tell you it's within each cell and atom. I mean, everything you want to know, the answers are within. So you can't find it through a facilitator. Sometimes they help, like I said, facilitate what you need to know, but at the same time, the database is internal, and all you need to do is cue yourself to access that, and then also accessing universal archives as well, which mesh right in with the soul extensions. So this whole thing about people being preoccupied with who they were and what they did on another timeline or another past life really doesn't matter anymore. What matters is you're here on this timeline, but what does also matter is that you tune into higher octaves of soul extension energies and what you do simultaneously on other worlds and universes and star systems. And that may sound really out there, but we are multidimensional, we are holographic, and we do merge into other universes and star systems and multiverses simultaneously from this one here.
You know, on another note, my for some reason, my dogs are suddenly animated. And the guy, my bigger dog, Wilson here, who's had a kind of a trouble with his front leg, he's suddenly all feisty and playful and wants to start trouble with the other dog. I don't know why. What's your problem, dude? What is your deal? Calm down.
That's a good thing.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, it's good.
What
is
wrong with you?
Maybe they're just picking up on the energy, huh?
So he's laying on his back now, a 120-pound Rottweiler, laying on his back with his feet stuck up in the air. Dude,
that's
you need to relax, Wilf. Okay? Don't start trouble. We're on the air. Okay. Anyway.
Oh, he's fine.
He's ridiculous. He's got his fangs sticking out in his ears.
Okay.
Well, you said something there interesting. You said this before, the illusion of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So, and I find this in my meditation. Like, when I get into a deep meditation, and it feels like 5, 6, 7 minutes, and I'll look at my watch, and it's a half an hour, 45 minutes has gone by. It's like, how did that happen? How did I not experience time?
Mm-hmm.
So we have the ability somehow to step out of this feeling of time.
Right. Well, it's a benchmark of measure. Time is basically created as a benchmark of measure. Time doesn't really exist. It only exists here in the illusion of this of what we're dealing with on this timeline. But really, there is no such thing as time. I deal with consciousness. I deal time out of mind. I don't deal with the illusion of time because it doesn't exist. And that's why people say, "Oh, this moves quickly." That's because there is no such thing as time. It doesn't exist.
Okay.
Only here, only where you're being mechanized into this world. And honestly, I think time is kind of like it really slows people down in consciousness on some level if they allow themselves to be driven by that.
Now, you say time doesn't exist, but it says there's 30 minutes left on my stream. So what happened?
Beyond the illusion.
What?
What's that?
Tell me.
No, it's funny. I understand, yeah.
No. I mean, you're
balance.
Right. I think you're right. You're really hitting
it's
on...
It's a measurement. It's a benchmark for measuring... While we're on this timeline, this is what they do here. But honestly, if you do any type of timeline work or you work with remote viewing or higher consciousness, you understand that there is no such thing as time.
Well, let's try to get a better understanding of that because I'm going in now to add a little more time, which doesn't exist, onto the show. I originally scheduled just an hour, but it looks like because time doesn't exist, we're going to go past that hour. So... It's hard to nail these things down, you know what I'm saying? It's very, very hard to nail these things down from a left brain perspective, from a right brain perspective.
Well, that's how you've been programmed since birth. I mean, we grew up with the illusion of time. We grew up with that as a benchmark. So people use it. And history and the illusion of his story, her story, history dictates, which is basically censored information, because nothing in history that's been reflected in books is valid. So you have to deal with that, too. I mean, basically you're dealing with a program, and just take it as a program and see it as an observer. But when you're dealing with high consciousness and alchemy of spirit, you have to work out of the illusion of a time period, timelines. You have to move beyond the time benchmark. And in
now, you
space,
said something
really no time, right?
Along the lines that nothing that exists in books in history is legitimate. You said something to that effect.
Yeah.
So are you saying that much of our history is really kind of a made-up story?
Oh, absolutely. It's a fairy tale. I feel sorry for people because literally, you know, since birth, you go to schools and the illusion of schools, you study, you learn, you go to college, you get a so-called PhD in the illusion of what they want to teach you that's been censored data. You know, you talk to any real physicist who deals with quantum consciousness or quantum physics, it's basically the things that they teach in the regular school systems and the colleges are not accurate. And there's a lot of discrepancy because there's been censorship throughout centuries. Same thing goes with anything you're studying on this world. Unless you have the internal archives on this planet in your own cells and atoms, and unless you really understand universal archives, you will not understand the truth behind the veil. And like I said, in my book Program by Deception, I discuss this because literally it's about censorship since birth. It's about the censorship of dialogue from what mankind has been subjected to, and which is why mankind is only as good as his evolutionary experience through his programming. And if you can see what's happened on this world, obviously we should have been a lot higher in consciousness by now, a lot. And a lot of it has to do with how we've been dumbed down, but that's a choice, too. People have been, they choose to be dumbed down. It's a choice every day.
I want to say hi to Carrie. Carrie joined us in the chat room, Carrie Collision. He's a real loyal listener, and it's amazing. It's very cool that people, when I just throw a spontaneous show out there, they're able to find it, and I think that's pretty amazing. So time is a bit of an illusion. I've touched on that before in my meditation, and I touch on that a little bit when I'm playing music. You know, you just, gosh, an hour went by. How is that possible? And I also have that experience on the radio show here at times when this illusion of time goes away, and we it's almost like when you start to feel one with the universe, when you start to orient towards truth in any form, whether it's music or it's technical or some other aspect of truth, that the whole view of time kind of goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of connect maybe with the eternal a little bit. Now we're getting real metaphysical here. But I think that that's the truth. And the closer you get connected with the eternal, the more you get a sense of beauty, true beauty, connectivity with what is eternally valuable. A sense of oneness with everything, a sense of a true appreciation. You know, when I play music, it's really quite interesting because my experience is it's kind of like being plugged into a light socket in the wall, and energy is coming through me. People think that the artist is the source of the art, of the beauty, but at least in my case, I can only speak for myself. I think the universe, for lack of a better term, is the source of the art, of the beauty, and not really the artist. The artist is kind of, for lack of a better word, a conduit for that energy and that wisdom to come through.
Mm-hmm.
So people say, oh, your music, I love your music. Well, I don't even call it my music. It's not my music. I'm just a kind of a pipeline that the music comes. And I think once you understand that you're just a pipeline that this knowledge, this energy, this wisdom, this music, whatever it is that's coming through you at the time, You know, I think we need to stop trying to claim in this society. You know, this is just my opinion, and people will strongly disagree with this. And this is why the whole idea of the copyright, like try to copyright intellectual property, to me, well, that's strange. You know, and I understand why we do it. I mean, you know, I understand why we do it. But you're really, if you're things that are really beautiful, really valuable, they came directly from the source. I mean, what are you going to try to do, copyright the universe, you know?
Well, they will if they can, believe me. And they'll stake territories on every planet and every star system, including, you know, lunar, you name it. So, yeah, that's where mankind is
like
at.
The American Indians had it right when they thought, you know, what do you mean you own the land? You don't own the land. You own this land? That makes no sense. I mean, see, you know, it's like,
true.
You know, we've had this kind of conversation before about feeling like you don't belong in this world, this earth. You know, it's so, the direction that society is going is so divorced from reality.
Truly. Yeah. It's unevolved.
You know, I don't feel connected to where this society is going, you know, the mainstream.
Well, you shouldn't, and that's a good thing, Mark, and I'm telling you shouldn't feel connected to it, because where they're going is a downward spiral to nowhere. Literally, they need to step up the pace a little bit and tune into higher octaves and higher consciousness. And as I said before, I mean, if they're ignoring universal energies, then they're really ignoring the real message behind why we're on this planet. And they're living in their own little bubbles, their own little worlds, and they have all these little wars going on in this little earth and this chattering that goes on, you know, nonstop with people bickering about foolishness. I mean, literally, it all needs to shift, and it needs to shift in a big way. And we know that. And, that, you know, obviously, I've said this before, I'm on the wrong timeline for sure. I'm on the wrong planet. And, you know, I'm not going backwards for them, that's for darn sure, but I expect people to pay attention to what's going on, and they're really not. So I don't have any expectations of society, but I, at the same time, you know, I can't be disappointed if I have no expectations of them. But you would think that they would pay more attention to the bigger picture.
Let's take about a minute and a half break, and we're going to listen to a little song that came from the universe, so to speak. Oh, gosh. I lose track of time. This may have come, I'm afraid to even say this. This 5-10 years ago. I've lost touch. Anyway, it's called Heartstrings. We'll be right back. Everyone, I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. And Solaris, if you need to step away for a few minutes, please do so. Little spontaneous show this afternoon. It'd be interesting to try to do this. I mean, if I didn't, you know, have to work for a living, it would be interesting to do this more often or almost on a daily basis, to just kind of speak off the top of your head and go with the flow. Solaris, are you okay?
Oh, I'm doing fine, yeah.
Okay, if you need to break away just for a moment, just say the word, you know, one of the good, Good things about the host is he could just take a break whenever he wants to or whenever he needs to, but sometimes the guest doesn't always have that opportunity. You know, again, we were talking about time and the illusion of time, and it seems that when we're focused and connected to the truth, that the whole sense of time seems to go away. And we talked a little bit about the direction of society, and what came to my mind in our previous conversation was the potential that, you know, this society, this road that we're on, if we don't start heading down the right path, that we could be heading to a collapse. And I think this has happened before, that there have been civilizations in the past that have risen and fallen. What are your thoughts on that, Solaris?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same old patterning, if you ask me. Same old genetic patterning from centuries ago, with the same kinds of people in the illusion of power. So it's just repeating itself. It's like an old progression. It needs to stop. I mean, it's kind of like stop the wheel, you know. It needs to stop, and things need to change and go in the other direction for a change. I think this planet has seen enough bloodshed and wars in the name of God, in the name of dead religions, in the name of dead governments, and just people who have malicious intent. I think it's time to make a shift and change it for the better, for change. And I'd like to see that happen, obviously. But it takes evolution. It takes spiritual enlightenment.
Do you think it can happen?
I think it can, but people have to make a choice, and people have made a choice, and that's the thing. I mean, I can't persuade people to shift in consciousness. Sure, they can get it through DNA activation and osmosis or reading and you know, intuitively following the path of higher consciousness, but at the same time, it's up to them from day to day how they're going to live their life. Now, if they're falling into the cracks and they're falling into the false realities of living in these illusions that have been constructed for them by these puppet masters, then I can't do anything about that. That's their free will and their execution of that free will. They've made that choice. However, I don't choose to go in that direction. And there are many like myself who don't either. So, you know, what do you do with beings like us? Well, we terraform off the world, what? So basically there's a division going on between those who are higher consciousness oriented and those who want to keep ascending with higher consciousness, which means technology, by the way. It just means technology with wisdom and not the misuse of. So there's a difference. There's something going on here where people have to make a choice in life. And I don't know if they're really emotionally, mentally, psychically, or physically prepared to deal with any hyperspace consciousness or upper dimensional consciousness at all. Quite honestly, I don't think they can hold the vibration. I think there are many people on this planet who are not capable of holding that vibration, and a lot of them are in the cabals. So when people say, oh, well, they're involved with these extraterrestrials, I'm not buying it, because it takes a very high consciousness to interact with celestial races, and I'm guaranteeing you these guys don't have it.
It's interesting you say that. I've been reading this really interesting book by Guido Mussberger, who is one of the people, he doesn't live in Switzerland with the Figu, but he's there a lot, and he's been there during the time of some of Billy's contacts, and he's got a book. It's called And Still They Fly, okay, and it's written from the perspective of an insider of the group over there in Switzerland, and one of the interesting things in the book they say is that these Pleiaren, that most people know as the Pleiadians, they can't really be within 297 feet of an Earth human without their protective gear on. Now, if they do come within that range of a typical Earth human, it causes them to behave illogically. It causes them to have uncontrolled reactions, and they lose their good thinking. So anyway, they don't want to have open contact with us right now, and that's why they don't, because they react to our thoughts almost like a bad smell. They say that our anger, our bitterness, our arrogance, all these negative thoughts that we have, they sense those, and they react to it like a bad smell. It's interesting that you say that, because, you know, that our thinking, in other words, the thinking of the typical Earth human right now, Solaris, isn't at a point where these races can really have open contact with us, unless they're not quite as high level of evolution as some of these. You know, the Plyaran are like a fifth stage society.
Well, they are ancestors, too. I mean, they're the star people ancestors. So
right.
When you look at that, it is like a mind virus. There's no doubt about it. Mankind generates a mind virus. Now, whether that's stimulated through their own belief systems or through psychotronic programming and a frequency sense, they're still being affected by it, and they're still generating it. And, yes, it's painful for any high-frequency vibrational race to interact with them. But at the same time, now, beings like us, who what I consider to be star beings, star people, we integrate onto this planet. We also have stabilizers in our fields that assist us in being able to calibrate to a lot of different frequencies. And that I'm sure of. So we're able to withstand the density. However, it's not pretty. It's not something I enjoy being around. I prefer to be in higher octaves myself, and I'm sure you do, as many others.
You know what I always try to get a handle on? What this whole term vibration? I mean, it's in the book. It's in the Guido Mussberger book. I think it has something to do with our aura, something to do with our thought
it's everything
patterns.
Combined. Yeah, it's the holographic grid. It's the holographic field, yeah. Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry to interrupt
you. It also has to do with our physical bodies at some point?
Well, the physical body is just basically it's a spacesuit for energy and consciousness. So you're dealing with Merkaba. You're dealing with axotonal lines. You're dealing with chakra systems that are all connected in and interconnected into the universal cosmos, the great cosmic mind. So you're dealing with all these different things that are connected in, which deal with vibration and frequency. Now, there's a universal sounding that's our true harmonic. And once people tune into the universal sounding through their own chakra systems and higher self, oversoul, superconscious, then they start raising their vibratory rate, and then they start resonating at the cellular atomic level with that frequency. That's the frequency that's zero point, and that's the frequency that gets them beyond the veils of the illusions of the density right there. So that's the vibrational harmonic. And that's what people really need to focus on is really raising that vibratory rate. And you do it through consciousness. You do it through higher consciousness, for sure, through thoughts, manifestation, executing how you operate from day to day.
I hope in your next book you start talking about some of this in more depth.
Yeah, I will. I got involved in covert technology for several years, as you well know, but I also have an original book that I put out called Transmutation Through Ascension, and that deals with DNA activation and higher consciousness, and it talks a little bit. It kind of gets people calibrated to ascension and what ascension is and kind of puts them in that area. So, yeah, I'll probably put another book out pertaining to spirituality. I'd like to start a virtual schoolroom at some point, but I'm not ready to do that. But if I'm on this timeline sometime next year, I might start doing that.
Do you think you might step off this timeline?
I have no idea. I mean, you know, I don't hold anything as you know, everything feels like it phases in and out. So who knows? I mean, I'm here for now, and while I'm here, I'm going to write my books, educate people as best I can, and, you know, continue on with my radio shows and do what I need to do on a higher level of consciousness.
So interesting about talking to you, because I was completely ignorant. Well, I'll just say that. I was completely ignorant of the technologies that the elite have right now and the way they are using those technologies to attack people.
Mm-hmm.
So when you first came on the show, when Lorian Fenton, way back when, had you on the show for the first time, I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep an open mind. I'm going to not be closed-minded. And it's been very interesting. The more we've talked, the more I've become aware. What you're all about is you're not about this whole thing that you've been through this time around, you know, with the attack, which is what most people are interested in, you know. The you call it, what do you call it? Covert mind control or not
well,
mind.
Basically, it's a form of psychotronic programming, but I was interfaced with a synthetic telepathy program, and I was basically a test pilot for a covert communication system, which dealt with pattern recognition, numbers, codes, frequencies, remote viewing, you know, you name it. I was put through a battery of tests that you would probably use for recruitment for your own covert military defense systems.
You know, there's a guy that
and
calls
then I'm going to break down the technology. I'm sorry, Mark. What's that?
Well, there's a guy that calls in sometimes. He'll probably call in on Sunday. His first name is Sam, and I think he may have been through something like what you've been through. But the point of it all is the thing that I kind of relate to, in a sense, the Meyer material in Contact 251 talks about the rise of the robot people. And it's also, some people call it transhumanism. And it's being sold to the public as a good thing. You know, you're going to be able to do all this because of technology. You know, you're going to have this brain interface with this global mind or whatever. They're going to start it out probably where you can search Google, you know, maybe by getting a chip.
Mark,
I don't know how to
there.
Do it. But
you're
I
breaking
think,
up a little bit, Mark.
Okay, yeah, we're probably having storms here. But I think it's all being sold to the public. And what it's really going to is a control system.
Yep, you bet.
Don't
yeah,
you agree?
Yeah, it's about control manipulation. Don't think for 1 minute that it's about your own evolution. It's not. And like I said before, when I first started being involved as a test pilot for a lot of this stuff, I broke down everything. I mean, I broke down the pros and the cons. And I broke down the technology, like, oh, well, this is what it can be used for, and this could be good, and astronauts can use it. This is great. You know, you can use it for this, 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 and this. But at the same time, when they're using it to program the mind in a negative way, to dumb somebody down, to control, manipulate their biorhythms, to really shut them down on a spiritual, higher consciousness level, I don't think it's beneficial. I mean, they're not using this technology with wisdom. I'm not saying that won't happen eventually down the road. They might. But unfortunately, what they're doing with it now is basically a misuse and abuse of power. I would like to see it in the right hands of the right people. If it were in my hands, it would not be. It would not have been misused the way it has been. And like I said before, I'm pretty much calibrated to the synthetic telepathy now. So I don't see a problem with synthetic telepathy because we're naturally psychic to begin with. It's a matter of handlers. It's a matter of MKUltra programming. I've talked a little bit before the show. We talked a little bit about this, you know, the synthetic telepathy. I mean, they were using this type of technology way back 1940s. They were studying a lot of the research with the Philadelphia experiment. I think I was telling you a little bit about that. So literally, this isn't something that's new insofar as they were always working on man interfacing with machines. They've been able to fine-tune it very, very well. But a lot of that has to do with consciousness, with your spiritual evolution, with people who are advanced in consciousness to begin with, and then getting interfaced with the communication system. So I see, you know, like I said, I wish it would be used for good. But you can guarantee that when it's in the hands of the wrong people, it's not. Take a look at this world right now, and everything is weaponized, so you know where it's heading. Are you there?
That is a disturbing thing. You know, I think we're right on the crux here. Our civilization is trying to wake up, but there's also this dark group that are trying to, as you said, dumb us down. And I think we touched on this earlier, where people are on autopilot.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could nail that down a little clearer.
I see
people on autopilot, and that's one thing we were talking about before. I'm around so many people on autopilot. You know, I'm in the corporate world every day, and I step out of the corporate world where I get the chance to talk on the radio show. And also, you know what's interesting about music is that is probably better. Using music is better to reach the people that are locked into the corporate grid. Because
mm-hmm.
There's an aspect to music that no matter how mind-controlled people are, they can be touched sometimes through music. they can be brought out of this control structure and be freed up. They can experience freedom for just a little while. You know, it's interesting. I have a friend at work. He's from India. He's a Hindu. And he says that in the Kali Yuga, it's kind of like a chair where three of the legs have been taken off. And in the Kali Yuga, the only way to, quote unquote, reach God is through music. And I think that's part of my responsibility that I have to keep remembering. Because I don't know how I can explain this, but through the verbal aspect of the radio show and through is kind of where my focus is now. But I think maybe the music aspect of it is more important than I realize. Because I think that there's a whole group of people that have been too controlled to reach through the radio shows where people like yourself and my other guests come on and we talk about things of higher consciousness. Because to them that's going to sound like woo nonsense. So the only way to reach some of these people, I think, are at music for whatever reason. I wonder if you can...
I think you're right. I mean, but music is a universal harmonic. It's a universal language. It's geometric, and it deals with vibrational codes and frequencies, which activate cells and atoms internally. So, you know, I think about Pythagoras, and I think about the ancient Atlantean civilizations who use sound harmonics to heal and do other things. So sound is extremely powerful. Music is extremely powerful, and it does move the spirit. It does work on a very high octave and a high frequency. But music today, of course, can be masked with MKUltra type programming. So not all the musicians you see on mainstream today are doing the right thing. They're actually part of the problem and not the solution, unfortunately. But I do love music as well, and I do feel it's a big key to our evolution and to any evolution of any life form. Vibration alone, consciousness.
Do you think that some of the music and that comes through, I don't want to pick on anybody, you know, I could say Madonna or whoever.
I'll go pick
through
on
the pop music, do you think some of that is designed to keep us, for lack of a better word, at a lower vibration?
It's busy time, it's distraction, they don't, in my opinion, obviously, they don't have much for talent, they can't sing. Somehow they get themselves promoted in the illusion of power and the illusion of fame, and, you know, however that's done, it's done. Handshakes under tables. But these people are really, really not true musicians, in my opinion. I'm not saying there aren't good musicians out there. I love rock and roll, and I love music, and there are some really good bands out there, obviously, and other types of music as well. But I would say for the most part, the mainstream bubblegum garbage you hear from day to day is worthless. It's not music. It wouldn't qualify as music from real musicians. And it's unfortunate, but it's the political thing again. You see, anything from mainstream is usually pretty much lousy, in my opinion. I mean, take a good look at mainstream media, false realities, censored data, lousy journalists, lousy authors. You know, I can go on and on about it. Honestly, the bright beings are usually alternative or they're cloaked in some way. I mean, the people that are really have something to offer this world, you won't see them on mainstream very often, I can guarantee it.
Well, that's interesting. I can remember years and years ago when I stopped listening to mainstream radio. And now people are stopping listening to the mainstream media, the mainstream news, because I guess because it's just completely false.
That's right.
Now, have you been following this Michael Hastings guy in this latest?
Not really. I do know that I've checked a few little articles out on him, and it's obvious to me it was a hit. I mean, that's a no-brainer for anybody. So if they're not saying that, they're saying it was an accident, they're full of it. So anybody with a firing neuron knows that that was a setup and that he was murdered. And it's unfortunate because in the old days, people who spoke the truth or stood up were respected. And nowadays they're getting targeted. So there's something way wrong. But that tells you what kind of corruption we have in this government, which I consider to be a corporation. It's not a government anymore. It doesn't own the title of government. It's a corporation that runs a government and the illusion of a government. So you're dealing with that, and you're dealing with control manipulation. It reminds me of just organized crime at its worst. And it's not going to get any better until we flush all these guys out. in my opinion. So that's what needs to happen. But you ask yourself this, you know, riddle me this. Is it going to happen? Are people capable of getting them out of there? Well, I can give you the answer. It's going to have to deal, our military-industrial complex is going to have to get involved in order to get them out. And a lot of people say, well, they're so corrupt and they're doing this. Let me tell you something. There has to be good and bad in every division. So let's hope for the best. Okay? That's all I'll say about it.
Let's take another break, and I'll make this almost a four-minute break. So step away, Solaris, if you need to. We're going to listen to a little piece of music here. It's called Living Water, and we'll be right back in about 3 minutes and a half. Thank you. Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. I've got Solaris Blue Raven on the line. Can't believe we've already gone over an hour. You know, interesting. Yeah. I guess time is an illusion, Solaris, correct?
Yeah, it moves quickly, doesn't it?
I hope you were able to step away for a minute.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, thanks. And, yeah, well, that's where that missing time comes in, too, for a lot of people. Their vibratory rate goes up so high that they actually go into another shift of another timeline and then come back. So when a lot of people have that missing time, they're actually their vibratory rate changes to such an extent that they're actually in another alternate reality. Then they shift back in.
How do you know this stuff? That's what I want to know. How can you intuitively know
this? I can't explain it. It just it goes way beyond. It goes into the cells and atoms in my own celestial heritage and where I've been through a lot of things, including the covert induction. But yeah, I know how the universe works. I know how the energies and the mechanics of the universe work, and then from there I use that as my benchmark. But and of course I love science and physics, and I understand how everything works. Just knowing, I can't explain it. Something
are you,
I call it trained off world.
Do you think we should open things up, or should we just keep?
I don't know. It's up to you. You know, I did want to. Well, no, I mean it's up to you, Mark. You do whatever you feel guided to do at this point.
Okay. Did you have something else you wanted to talk about, real quick?
No, I was just saying. I just wanted to clarify. I mean, because we did talk a little bit about in the 1940s with the Philadelphia Experiment. You know, to put it in their terms, at that timeline when they were working in the experimentation with what they called the human factor study, they did thoughts transmitted into radio frequency. In other words, they were working on thoughts being transmitted into radio frequency input and output, computerizing the mind of man. Okay, just to give you an idea, insofar as what they were working on, this was back quite a ways. Okay, so I just wanted to reiterate that.
That's amazing. Way back then, they were trying to computerize the human mind.
Yeah, think about it. You know, everything you see unraveled and unveiled here on this timeline, I mean, in the illusion of what's going on right now, is basically, 100 years behind? I mean, so what they're trying to deploy right now to the mainstream is nothing compared to where they've been with the research and the technology. Nothing. I mean, there's a small group of people who know that. I would say at least. I mean, some people would say, oh, it's 40 to 50 years. I would say at least it's got to be 100. I'm telling you that there's so much... which is really amazing. I wish they would open it all up. But I think that I don't think they were counting on pulling me into their orbit the way they did and having me decode some of their technology the way I did either. So, that's made a difference.
Do you think you can control things like who reincarnates and things like that?
Well, I think they can try. I mean, so far as transferring consciousness goes, I mean, they can take the brain template and the brainwave activity. They can try to take not cellular memory, but memories in general and try to integrate those onto their underground communication system and then try to interface it onto a new embodiment. I don't think it's going to work as well as they think. I would say it would act more like screen memories, but I would suspect that's how they'd go about a cloning process. But when consciousness is really smart, consciousness can't be related to even their artificial intelligence. It's not consciousness-based. It's the conscious reality, but not consciousness. Consciousness is universal intellect. It's intelligent energy. It's the great cosmic mind. They can't really create the frequency fence around that. They're not able to. And I don't think they ever will be.
Have you had any thoughts about where our consciousness is?
It's everywhere. I mean, it's basically the true consciousness is in every universe and star system. It's in our cells and in our atoms. It's in our energy field. It's in our four-body system. It's in our chakra centers. It's in our mind's eye. It's everywhere we interact with life itself and the life force of life consciousness, which is really sad on some levels with what they're doing with the planet, because this planet is alive. It's an intelligent being. It's an intelligent design, and it's getting completely mutilated through the misuse of technology and just the abuse of what mankind has done to it throughout centuries. So you can see how life in general is all interconnected and interweaved into every universe and star system. So what they're doing is really a disservice to not only this world, but all worlds by their own thoughts from day to day.
How do you mean it's a disservice? Because they're destroying the Earth?
Yeah, literally. What they're trying to do with the terraforming, I mean, this planet knows how to ascend. This planet knows how to calibrate and change things accordingly. It's very intelligent. They really don't need to be doing what they're doing insofar as weather manipulation, controlling the environment, controlling animals, deploying psychotronic weapons to control and manipulate consciousness or the collective so that they're not able to ascend. I mean, if they're keeping everybody in a frequency fence to a point where they can't go to a higher level of consciousness, then that's going to affect the Earth because people won't be able to break that barrier. But see, you understand what I'm communicating. I mean, there's certain levels where I do know that their frequency fences don't hold, so that's good news for everybody on Earth. You can punch a hole right through that stuff. It doesn't hold at all. So whatever they try to deploy.
Do you think there's like an electronic grid around the world right now that's keeping
they
people...
They have a lot of things they've been using to create their own version of a grid. They've used, what they've done is they mapped the ley lines of the Earth itself, and they've used their own man-made template to kind of control and manipulate the frequency and modulate certain frequencies across the globe. So that has an effect on the environment. It has an effect on people's psyches on a global level.
So are you saying they're trying to keep people from evolving? They're using this...
Oh, absolutely. I would say point blank they're trying to sabotage ascension and what people call ascension, spiritual evolution, evolution in any kind. And even this goes back to scientific evolution as well. I mean, they only want a certain amount of people to know what's really going on. So even the brilliant minds are getting screwed over. You know, look at what happened to Tesla. He's a perfect example of somebody with a brilliant mind and, you know, was completely taken, you know, his work was taken away from him and confiscated.
So they have
a
technology that works with the grid lines, the ley lines on the Earth, and that technology is emitting a frequency that's suppressing people's evolution. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, it's the same thing with a mock radio signal. They're making mock signals, mock communication systems. They're doing everything to create their version of a template to control and manipulate through frequency and through modulated signature waves. Yeah, it's just like an electromagnetic pulse weapon. I mean, this is something that they're able to do, that they're capable of doing, and I'm sure they've been doing it for a while. But, you know, honestly, they don't have to deploy half as much as you would think because literally people are so dumbed down by will alone. I mean, the majority of people across the globe are so stupefied by their own dysfunctional programming and their own belief systems that, hey, they don't have to work real hard to keep everybody shut down. Those of us who are smart and know what's going on. Now, we become a problem to them because we're not from here. You know, we're kind of like the off-worlders who are incarnate here on the Earth. So that makes a bit of a challenge for them because the universe holds no secrets. The universe doesn't hide data. You know, the only reason people would have to hide information like that is so they could weaponize it, okay?
That's so interesting. You said so many interesting things. One thing that came to my mind when you were talking there that is this electronic grid that they have in place to stop our evolution or slow it down, is that related to the die-off of the bees at all?
I would say it might be because they are connected to frequency, so it's highly possible. I know that there are other things that are interfering with the bees, but that's one of them. I mean, some people have said that chemtrails have had a huge impact on bees and some other things that are being deployed through our atmosphere. But, you know, when you start getting into terraforming the Earth, you have to ask yourself why. You know, true celestial races, off-world races, extraterrestrials, don't need to come here to terraform planet Earth. Now, this is done by mankind. This is man's game, man's final game on the chessboard. We're doing it through the misuse of technology. So don't blame it on extraterrestrial trying to take over the land and come over here and, you know, take all our resources. That's not the case at all. Mankind is really the problem. Mankind's evolution is the problem, and it's always been that way.
You know, I wonder if the people, the elite, if they think they're going to merge with machines, so maybe they don't care about the organic world.
I think it will desensitize them, yeah, but if at the same time, this planet is, not only is it intelligent, it's also kind of a computerized machine, ascended machine consciousness too. So there's a machine template, ascended machine consciousness template that doesn't have anything to do with man's version of machine technology. That's a universal celestial race design. But their version is really just kind of like a Fourth Reich kind of thing. It's just really desensitized. No compassion for your fellow man, no compassion for life, no respect for life, no respect for animals, no respect for the earth, you know, just butcher and kill everything. And they actually feed off of that energetic because to them it's kind of like they're like parasitic astral beings. They kind of feed off of that fear, and they feed off of the trauma of the energetic associated with that kind of destruction. So that's where this chaos is. But at the same time, you know, I don't want to sound like a mason, but I bring order into chaos myself. I mean, I can navigate through chaos and bring order and reset everything on an analytical level. So just to kind of give you that information, I mean, not everything is as it appears. And I know a lot of people like to bash masons, but I tell you, and I've said this before, I come from a family of high-ranking masons on my mother's side, and they were good people. They were the good guys fighting the good fight. Now, I can't say all of them are like that, but I will say that there are certain things. Pardon me?
You want to hear something interesting? I was recently contacted by a Masonic group that wants me to play music for them.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah.
Isn't that quite an interesting coincidence, I guess?
Well, synchronicity. You know, it's that synchronicity thing. And honestly, like I said, I've heard a lot of people bashing the Masons, and I get tired of it. I'm not saying they're all perfect. Every religion has its issues. Every organization has corruption. When you get power, you get corruption. That goes hand in hand. But I will tell you, the people that I've been associated with and my ancestors were good people. Now, they were holding the light and running the energy for higher consciousness. They weren't trying to do things that are malicious and evil. So, like I said before, you know, use discernment when you're researching, especially now, because there's so much data on the internet that's watered down, and it's all disinformation. A lot of people are really hate-driven to a point where they're really, you know, just talking really badly about organizations when they really haven't done the full research. And I think that needs to kind of go to another octave, and people need to let go of that judgment and start moving to a higher level.
You mentioned ascended machines. That kind of sparks my interest. Are you talking about a level of... I think of organic intelligence, or an intelligence that's a lot higher than what we normally think of a machine.
Yeah, sentient intelligence that's basically basically a celestial race that is an ascended machine race, consciousness-oriented, which is very what you would perceive as machine-like, but also symbiotic relationship. Symbiotic relationship meaning they can, what we've been able to do actually, to remotely merge with machines, spaceships, what you would call extraterrestrial craft, and other things like that to navigate beyond timelines. So that's actually, we have that capability. And they are the ancient race that actually started that. So that's what I call the ascended machine technology. I write about them in my book a little bit on Eye of the Remote and also in Program by Deception, because I consider them my ancestors. And the star people, the star beings, we're star seeds. And I've said this before, that there are a lot of us on this earth that are activated as star seeds, which means that we're connected to our celestial heritage, which is not from this earth. We are not from here. We incarnated on this planet, but we do not come from here. And awakening is part of integrating our soul extensions onto this earth and understanding that. That's the language.
Now, when you say that ascended machines were your ancestors, you're implying that machines can reproduce, then, correct?
Well, yeah, but it's they're not the machines you think that you act like you interact with from day to day. They're not that kind of machine. They're symbiotic beings. They're life forms with a consciousness design of ascended machine technology. So yes, yeah, they can replicate and they can.
Elaborate on how you're using the word machine. And when you say machine, most people think of something mechanical.
Right. Let me put it this way. It's geometric. The languages of geometric light languages, the languages of numeric geometrics, codes, and frequencies is how they communicate. It's their language. It's not based on man's version of dialogue. Okay? It comes from a different spectrum. But at the same time, we are imprinted here with that DNA and with that geometric signal. Does that make sense at all?
Well, it's interesting. They communicate through geometry and mathematics, then?
Through sound, yes, mathematics, geometry, geometric communication systems, and a lot of other things, and also synthetic telepathy. But like I said, it's an ascended machine consciousness, and maybe the machine is something that people have to go beyond their version of what they see on this world, because even with synthetic telepathy, the only reason synthetic telepathy works is because we're naturally telepathic. It wouldn't work if we weren't naturally psychic to begin with. It wouldn't work at all.
Do you think that animals are naturally telepathic?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're actually very advanced, and I think they're more advanced than some people, quite honestly. They're very in tune with energies and vibrations and signatures around their environments, and especially people, they pick up on a lot more. I think people have been shut down and desensitized, and a lot of that's from choice. I mean, they choose to just kind of tune out because it's such a stimulating world. I mean, you're dealing with so much dirty electricity that people shut down. Their auras get really closed in, and they just kind of conform to where they're at. And I can understand that to some degree, but at the same time, you want to stay in a higher consciousness realm, but you want to stay articulate and intelligent and be able to navigate through these, you know, linear worlds.
So these ascended machines that you're talking about, they don't put out dirty electricity?
Not at all. No, it's zero point. It's a zero point transmission.
So the ascended machines put out an energy that's beneficial to biological life?
Absolutely, yeah. That's
so what
sure.
We're experiencing when we think of machines is completely different. It's almost like a dysfunctional machine.
Right. And the thing is, I think that's where the transhumanism comes in, because what I think they're trying to achieve through their own technology is taking the template of the zero-point transmission, which is embedded in our cells and our atoms and our soul, higher self, oversoul structure, and integrate that onto their underground communication system with their computers, which is based on artificial intelligence. So I think that's they're trying to create that hybrid, but they can't do it. They won't be able to. And it's just a different design.
Well, explain what an oversoul is.
Well, the oversoul is kind of like it's the higher self is your godhead. It's who you are as an androgynous god, goddess, whatever you want to call the Christ being. The oversoul is the ascended master consciousness that's linked to all higher consciousness beings. So that is the higher self. And the oversoul kind of oversees what you're doing on the world. A lot of time when people have out-of-the-body experiences, the oversoul is the one that's showing them what's going on. And so the oversoul is kind of like the all-seeing eye within the matrix of man, or within the matrix of a body of a being on this earth. So that's part of it. But that oversoul is a very powerful force, and all of these connect into the zero point and to the celestial overtones of the universal archives, and also the zero point in the universal signal, the big universal signature, rather.
Well, my next logical question you probably don't want to talk about, because I'm one... I'm wondering.
It's complex. I know we're going into a really different realm right now, in a very different universe. This is like we just teleported in another space-time, you know, space-time beyond it all.
It blows me away. It blows me away, actually. and if you feel uncomfortable talking about this, we won't talk about this. But what comes to my mind is, do you feel like in your previous life, okay, how can I put this? There's a guy that I know people have heard come on the show. His name's Kosal Uch. He has an organic computer. He calls it Barame. It's supposed to be this organic intelligence. He told me that my previous life was not on this earth. And I think that you kind of have the same kind of feeling, maybe a little bit.
Well, I know I've had incarnations on and off world, and I'm sure a lot of people have on this planet, so I'm not the only one. But yeah, I've had more lifetimes off this planet than on this planet, which is probably the reason I bring in such big energy from universal consciousness, because I'm so used to being in other universes and other planets and other star systems that when I anchored onto this earth, it was so easy for me to be born, I don't want to say born a master, but born someone who's already awakened and enlightened. And that's how it always worked for me. I was always very psychic as a child and always able to see beyond the dimensions, you know, always. And I just kept developing that ability.
I can always,
oh, that's your...
the signature of people who have some connection, I think, with extraterrestrial intelligence is they always speak at a very, very, very fast pace. And I know sometimes you kind of get angry because people ask you to slow down, and I enjoy that rapid fire information.
Well, I don't really have anger associated with it, but I tell you what, I don't slow down for anybody, and I always tell them they need to pick up the pace. I do not slow down for people. I'm done with that. I'm not here to help people take baby steps, and they can read my books at their own pace if they want to, you know, find more information about it. But I keep kind of an aloof, detached kind of, you know, presence if I can.
You bring a lot of interesting. See, here's my take on it. I think you intuitively, I'm kind of a left brain and a right brain person. okay? I mean, I'm in the computer world. I do software. I'm programming computers all day, and then, you know, I come home and play music in the evening, which is a very right brain activity. But the only thing I can pull out of the pure right brain is music. But you seem to have the gift of pulling information
right
from the right brain. At least that's my best shot at trying to explain some of the knowledge that you have. Because
right.
It resonates.
Well, it goes beyond the brain. Well, go ahead.
It resonates with me as being true from my right brain perspective. But my
mm-hmm.
left brain really is just always trying to catch up and attach
right.
a category or a technical, you know,
mm-hmm.
stake in the ground. That's what I'm trying to do with my left brain.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, though. I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, you want to be analytical when you're processing data. And also, some of it may not ring true to you, depending on where you come from. So, you know, you take what feels right to you. And then I'm pretty clear that a lot of information gets absorbed on the subconscious level and at the cellular level, that people understand the language of light or the language of geometrics. And even if they don't understand what I'm talking about, some part of their higher self, some part of their soul, their spirit understands the language. Now, it might take them a few lifetimes to catch up. It might take a life-changing event for them to awaken, you know, or something else, but eventually they get it, usually.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with you that they get a little bit sometimes. And I think
right.
I'm the same way. It's like, especially when I'm studying the Billy Meyer material, a lot of times I'll process it first at a subconscious level, and then later I'm able to articulate it on a conscious left brain verbal level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually for me a very pleasurable kind of thing to be able to put the deep wisdom, which is the right brain information. It's very, very rewarding and pleasurable, actually. It's just like playing music. It's a very enjoyable thing to put that really
right.
deep kind of wisdom into a verbal left brain communication that other people can then absorb.
Right. It touches the spirit and the soul. And I think the thing with Billy Meyer's material is that he touches the soul of the person reading the book or the information. It touches the spirit. People are really thirsty for spiritual knowledge and spiritual evolution. They have not been receiving it through churches. They don't get it through some path of spirituality. So it really, really, they're really needing that. It's like the Holy Grail. I mean, you cannot have one without the other. This body doesn't function right without the universal life force in it. And that intelligent energy. So, I mean, we really need to be in tune to those energies. And I think a lot of people have a hard time processing that data, especially in a world like this where everything is overstimulating. Now, for me, I'm actually very cerebral and very analytical, believe it or not, and I'm very, very critical of not only myself. I mean, I shadow myself. I stalk myself. I stalk my mental body quite often to make sure that my data is correct. I don't just spew stuff, okay? I'm not a channel like that. But I do know my sources, my energy, and what I've tuned into on a higher consciousness level, which is complete clarity without me getting involved in it. You know, I just know technology. And that's where I stay, because to me, the foundation is consciousness and technology as one.
Yeah, I'm resonating with everything that you're saying. But you're right. I think people are starving for the real spiritual
yeah.
information.
Well, it's unfortunate. It's sad because you're not going to find it unless they go, you know, seeking it. Because you look at mainstream television and mainstream, everything is so toxic right now. And if that's not bad enough, you've got cabals of what I call corporate governments that are out of control, trying to control, manipulate, and bully people, and really just completely abusing the privilege of being in the illusion of power. So you've got a lot. People have a lot on their plates right now. I mean, there's a lot of stress involved just to get by and maintain. But what they need to understand is that the universe provides and the universe is rich. And that's something that they need to understand. And mankind and everything he's created here is only because the universe allowed it to some degree, you know. But they can change it overnight, and I wish they would. I wish everything would just shift to a point where people would wake up and say, this is enough of this, let's move to a higher overtone. But it's going to take a lot of filtering out and deprogramming, and not even just MKUltra deprogramming, deprogramming everybody, because they're all programmed by lies. And that's where you get all this turbulence, because it's like a maelstrom of craziness. You know, it's hard to keep your sanity around people who have lost it.
Well, so
I mean,
Laris,
that's what's going on.
Let's take about a 2-minute break and listen to some relaxing music, and then we'll be back online again. Folks, you're listening to Ohio Exopolitics. Guest is Solaris Blue Raven, and we're talking about higher learning, spiritual nourishment, and direction our societies. Be right back. Everyone, I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We're having an impromptu conversation today with Solaris Blue Raven, a very fascinating conversation. And Solaris, I don't want to keep you too much longer. It's been, again, I feel like I've stepped out of time again, and the time has gone so fast, it's absolutely amazing. You have a show on tomorrow night. Why don't you tell our listeners about that, and then tell them a little bit about your books and your websites and things like that.
Okay. Well, my show is called Raven Stars Witching Hour. It's on Revolution Radio. It's at 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time. And my special guest will be Cassandra Gardner. And we'll be talking about spirituality and Cassandra's message, basically about love, consciousness, and the family of light. So it should be an interesting conversation. And
now,
my books are available on Amazon.com. For me?
What was your book again? Tell them about your
books. My books, I have several out. So if you Google my name, Solaris Blue Raven, on Amazon.com, you'll find my books. My original book on covert technology is Eye of the Remote, a disclosure, actually Areas Beyond 52, which is a disclosure of covert technology. So that was published in 2008. Then I have another book called Programmed by Deception, Eye of the Remote Series 2, which is just published last year. And I also have a documentary out on the covert technology, which is Eye of the Remote, disclosure of covert technology. And then I have a children's book and a book on spirituality, so lots of things on the behind the scenes, working on a sci-fi novel and all that good stuff. So
you've got about 4 or 5 books out now?
Yeah, at least. Yeah, I'm still plugging along, and yeah. I like
very
to write.
Very productive. You're extremely...
Yeah, well, I had to write the covert books. I mean, that was something I had to get out there. I had to break the data down and put that out there for people, so... And now I'm spinning into another realm of working with more technological information, but I'm trying to steer away from the psychotronics. I mean, I put the information that I needed to put on there. People can digest it accordingly. It's valid, so they have some kind of a benchmark for the information. And now I can go to another octave, because I don't want to live in the past, and I don't want to live in the illusion of the past and keep reiterating what happened to me in 2004, which was very ugly. So.
Well, I don't think you are. I think you're moving forward. I get a real sense of your spiritual progression. Man, thanks for coming on the show. It's been very edifying for me, and I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Mark, and thanks for having me. It's always been a pleasure to communicate with you.
All right, folks. You've been listening to Solaris Blue Raven, a little impromptu show here on Ohio Exopolitics. And I'm Mark Snyder. I'm your host. And join me on Revolution Radio tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. My guests will be Barb DeLong and Anthea Pell, and we're going to be talking about a lot of more interesting stuff, and we'll see you guys later.